So, can I use this?
This me?
Yeah.
Just show that for a moment. Thanks very much. I'll start with the first one in the new collection. It's on page 11, and it was published in South Bank, and it was actually nominated for the Forward Prize. And it's set in post-war Britain, and it's called Briefcases. When the gas masks got thrown out, the cases they came in handy. Aunt Jemima used hers for picnics, Spam sandwiches in greaseproof paper, wrapped as good as well-dressed hospital beds. The cases became a statement. Less sophisticated businessmen used them for the office, poorer children as school bags. One might be toddling off to get the tube to the Festival of Britain or the seaside, perhaps, carefree, never again having to worry about war. Thank you. And the book was launched on Friday night at Sheen's Tira in Tralee by Graham Allen, whom I'm sure a lot of you know. He's Professor of Modern English here in UCC. I think he was a headliner at Dovale, was he? And he picked out this one and he read it, so I thought I might read it tonight. It's called Taller Trees, and it's about going back to your home place. Hi, Billy, how are you? I didn't see you coming in there. Taller Trees. Visiting my then life. At first, the cottage fails to appear. I shoulder bushes to find the door. Rust flies from the keyhole. A mouse ducks out between my feet. I knee the bolt, and in I go. Grandmother's armchair is there. Out of it grows ivy and other greens. Smashed windows have trees growing in. Birds are on the beams, nesting, shitting. And where the crib was cornered, rats nest, raising their little ones. Thank you. And this one is on page 20, and it's a bit more lighthearted than humorous. It's set during the BBC proms, if you know, in kind of August, September. They had these concerts at the Royal Albert Hall. And this is called Prom 64. Favouring precision over colour, Sir Simon Rattle's sound world pushed the Berlin Philharmonic to their extremes. Sweat swept in the tuxedos of his ensemble, buttocks hot, Calvin Klein's stuck fast. Celestial dances over, starlit arias connected with the audience at the Royal Albert Hall, before I spotted, you'd spotted me. Our eyes met during Wagner's prelude to Tristan and Isolde. The music trebled on, climax after climax, the Liebestod, the farewell from an Isolde still caught in the moment. By the time Messiaen's Turanglalia symphony was rattled out, our eyes were fixed, a thousand meanings meant in the looking between us. My male companion scarcely noticed. He never does. He's married anyway. The encore. We rose, standing ovation complete, our eyes still getting to know one another. The bottom shape of your dress shown to me. We were exit 21 and you 22. In the circular foyer, I couldn't find you. If I rounded the Albert Hall a million times, I couldn't find you again. And the title of the poem, the title of the collection, the title poem of the collection is called Sons. It's on page 73. And it kept winning, I have the list of them here somewhere. Anyway, I can't find them. It kept winning second prize. It won second prize in five competitions. And I wondered, what's wrong with it that it's not getting a first prize? And then I figured, well, it can't be that bad if it got 5 seconds. And there were nice... there were nice prizes. There was the I-8s in Sligo and a few in England. That. So then I figured I had a lot of kind of father sons, mother sons, grandfather grandsons, grandson grandfather. So it kind of became the sort of the basis to form the connection. And the poem Sons itself really is about a family who they didn't know anything about their mother's talents until after she was gone. Sons. Drawings of shells litter her attic. We'd no knowledge she'd art in her. Art was something we did at school or Saturday classes till around the end of primary school. My brothers and me were knee-deep in mud at football, Glastonbury, helping Dad farm. Of what Mum did at home, we knew nothing. The food always ready, the laundry done. We never knew either why she left him and us suddenly one January, took a house by the sea, had women friends our life revolved around, waiting for the grandchildren none of us three sons gave her. Today, with our shoulders under her box, the weight of her weighs upon us. Okay, and this one is actually the oldest poem in the book. It's actually dated back from 1995, and it just never fitted in any of the earlier collections. And it was published in Southwark years ago, when Southwark was still the print journal, it was published in Southwark. And if you all know the film Ryan's Daughter, which was made down in Dingle in almost 50 years ago now, and Sarah Miles was the main actress, and this is just kind of imagining a mirage of seeing her on the screen. It was a lot of the long shots were filmed on Inch Beach. You'll all be passing it as you go down to Fallowfield for you at the weekend, and you can see a lot of the sites where all the scenes were shot. So this is called Sarah Miles. I see you in ochre walking back the beach nearly 50 years after your virgin path on the sand was captured forever on celluloid or whatever it was they used. Your steps are gentle now, making no dent on the grain. I am sticky in a high uniform. As I speak, no words are audible, even to me. I am on camera. Great grey shields hold the Atlantic winds and a clutter of people buzz. Swirling your parasol, you smile into me. David Lean shouts, action! I reach to touch. A tourist camera kicks and your image fades. And this one is on page 64, and it's called Baker's Pass. It was kind of, it began as inspired by Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty and Rome and the secrecy and the city under siege and that, but it went off in another tangent altogether, and it's called The Baker's Pass. In his pocket, covered in flour, is a white ticket with black print. He has to show to get inside the gate of the Horton city. Sometimes a guard for devilment will tear a loaf apart, trying for weapons hidden in the bread. It's not that the baker hasn't been asked to smuggle. He has, and he does. Knives in his shoes, a razor blade under his tongue, a strip of Semtex sealed in the crack of his bum. He is a godsend from the world outside, delivers his baking, his booty, collects his money, visits a lady whose body he enters before returning to the gate, codes and messages in his head and everywhere, heading back to his premises, wife and kids living overhead. Footage from the CCTV installed by the invaders shows him as an innocent baker, his baking, his decoy. Thank you. And I'll go back briefly to the first book in 2010. I'll just read one point from that. Actually, the first time ever I've read from all three books tonight, so that's great. This is called Black and Tan. My grandmother knew the opening scrape of her front gate was not a friend. Told us she remembered staying perfectly still. His hard steps crunching through her. She didn't remember his face, how long he stood in her kitchen, what lies or truths she uttered while my infant aunt gurgled in her cot. She did remember his words. I have a little girl like this at home myself. For 63 years, she stepped over the spot on her flagged floor where the black and tan had stood. Thank you. And going back to the new collection, this was actually a five-word challenge that I won here. I think it was the only time I ever won. And afterwards it was published in Vallum in Canada, and later on again it was published in India in a magazine called Rock Pebbles, and it's on page 57. I asked John W. Sexton recently, could he guess what the five words were, and he couldn't. He got one of them all right, provocative, but he couldn't get the other four, so see, can anybody pick them up? And it's called Weekend in the Country. That night, in the stately home, in the room bigger than their whole flat in London, in the four-poster bed with ornate, blood-coloured drapes, they made love, and she woke with him wishing to gnaw at her ear. Provocative moon was just disappearing, and dawn breaking on his thoughts. The worry that he must tell her that back in London, the banksters were moving in on the flat, that in his pinstriped suit, he had sat in the park the last 9 weeks and 4 days, not even feeding birds.
Banksters,
yeah, provocative.
Actually,
they were stately. They were provocative. Gnaw. Banksters. And did I say stately?
Yeah.
Oh, ornate.
Yeah.
Well spotted. Anyway, this is another one that was in Southward, and Matthew Sweet took a poem off me this week from Southward, and it's actually my 20th appearance in Southward. Well, this is one from a few years ago, and it's kind of a bit funny. It's called Confession Box, and it's told from the point of view of the priest. Don't let that put you off. No, it's actually Confession Box. A slip of a girl got through the railings of the bishop's big gate, ran to his palace, round to the back, climbed up the ivy to his bedroom window, and if there was a crack in the curtains, saw his white bum as he dressed himself at 6 a.m. She said she went every morning, or nearly every morning, for 6 weeks, but that his routine was his routine. He always dressed facing in. So she never saw his willy, she said, and asked if it was a big sin. And I told her 'twas a grave one, asked why she focused on the bishop's and not other men's things, and how would she like being spied upon. I gave her 10 Hail Marys, with sweat on my brow, mirth in my heart, and worry for the virtue of the young lads in the town. And this is another Cork one. It's actually Cork McSherry. Was down there for about 10 or 12 years to the Storytelling Festival. And it's very short. It's on page 71. And it's called Lights of Cork McSherry Bay. A trio reflecting on the water, divulging little. A solo under which headlights go. A duo kissing each other, it seems. And here I am, alone, watching them all. Thank you. And this one won the Viva Voce Michael Hartnett in Newcastle West. and it was April 2011. And I think I was just lucky because it was topical. I had just written it that week. And it's called The Statistics and I. As an Irish citizen of Palestinian origin, stating my country of birth often poses a problem, never more so than in completing the Nar of Na Éireann Census of Population of Ireland, Sunday, April 10th, 2011. I mean, Jesus, Mary and Joseph were surely not asked as many questions in the time of Caesar Augustus. My birthplace, Beit Jela, lies in what is now the Israel-occupied West Bank. Until 1948, it was Palestine, but when I was born in 1951, it was under Jordanian rule, and I received a Jordanian birth certificate. It was occupied by Israel in 1967 and is now referred to as the Occupied Palestinian Territories, OPT. So as I try to fill it all in, I notice I can only put in 17 characters for my answer, so that officially sanctioned name, Occupied Palestinian Territories, does not fit. I wasn't sure if OPT was a recognized abbreviation, so I called the Central Statistics Office helpline. A very helpful boy who put you to a very helpful girl who put me through to a very, very helpful girl who put me on hold before putting me through to a very helpful boy who assures me that he has trained as a statistician and the people in his department are statisticians too, and after much consultation between me, my statistician, and the rest of the statisticians, the spokesman cleared his throat and spoke. Well, we all know it's occupied. So, sir, you should just simply put down Palestine, which you have done with pride and satisfaction. And I'll go briefly back to the second collection from 2013, The Stern Wave. And this is, I think I've read it here before. I always read it in Cork because it's late 61. It's kind of getting up to the Panther season again now. Mm-hmm. And it's a global, you couldn't want to say this with a few drinks. It's a global warning, no, it's a global warming point. Global warming point. Mm-hmm. And it's set in the future. 2047, what are we, 2015? 25, 35, 32 years time. Cork Christmas Panto, 2047. Before the curtain at the opera house, as the dame is finally getting his comeuppance, and the cast play on to the brave ones who came out on a night like this, it seeps in. The noise of the orchestra and soundproofing drowns out the rising waters of the Lee. Usherettes with buckets and sandbags as it angers into the foyer, while round the back it goes in the stage door, floods the green room, rises to the dressing rooms. The global warms parked cars of the well-to-do families on their night out are already under 10 foot. No going home tonight. No going home.
Where
are you staying? Where am I staying? I'm going home. Would you blame me? Last Sunday I buried my first cousin. He was only 53. His name was James King. So I read this in his memory. It's not about him as such, but I just read it in his memory. It's called Danger. The electricity between the kite and the fingers of my little son's hands. The overhead lines beckoning the colours we painted on the sail. My eyes, fire brigades, as the breeze tangles the kite in trees. And And this is called Comics, as in comics, the Beano and the Dandy, all those. I don't know, do kids buy comics at all these days? Anyway, this is called Comics. When your father gave you pocket money, you bought the Dandy and the Beano, finished each issue in bed between Saturday night and Sunday morning when they called you for cow time. As you milked, your mind was miles away on the absorbed stories, captions, and world at large. On weekdays, the nuns in school were mad about you. Your bright studentship, inquiring mind, politeness. Other pupils hated you, called you a square. Did you think then that when you grew up, you'd be out in some world yourself? But no, you stayed here, a house slave, nursing your father till he died, nursing a nagging, aged mother now, but in your bedroom, two perfect sets, January 4th, 1973, to sometime in August 1977. Starting secondary school, you hid the old comics, their stories in your head, under the bed. Thank you. And I have two more. The next one is another kind of a funny one. It's actually the youngest, it's the baby of the collection. If you consider your poems your children, this is the baby. I only wrote it in January 2014. All the other poems are much older. Most of them would be about 2007 to about 2005 to about 2010. But I think I threw this in for the humorous aspect of it. And it's called Greta Garbo's Dog. I asked yesterday, the day before, does everybody know who Greta Garbo is?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, it was the first audience I've had that they didn't. There were some kids just then going, who? So anyway, it's called Greta Garbo's Dog. Did Greta Garbo have a dog? And did it bark at her or anyone? Did it woof woof to other dogs that it wanted to be alone? Or was it a normal dog who did the normal things any other dog did in a New York apartment? Going for walks in Central Park, peeing in the designated areas, getting a special bone on Thanksgiving Day, wearing a fur coat, red with white trim, in December. Did Greta Garbo have a dog? And was it called Lars or Bjorn? And did it walk naturally in snow? And did the movie star dry its paws when it came in wet after a walk? Did Greta Garbo have a dog? And what happened to it after she died? Did it get sent back to Sweden? Or did another normal New Yorker in a normal apartment adopt it? Thank you. And so I'll finish with this one. It's on page 72. It's the second last poem in the book. It's about kind of two older artists, and the wife is works with glass. It's unspecified what the husband does, but it's in the voice of the husband. And it's called What's Left. Fighting the light and oncoming stars, we make our way through developing gaps to hills of home. You not really leading anymore, eyesight fading with years of staring at the fine-tuned glass you shaped into domes, goblets, and other concoctions. Retiring, we vowed to explore all these gaps and spaces on our mountain, pack picnics for our soul food. ABBA music plays on your iPod. On mine, it's Mozart. In the bedroom, it's only companionship now. Angel faces greet us in this garden we inherited. Angels we will eventually become. Later tonight, like last night, we will skiffle again to Lonnie Donegan on our iPad dock station, the contraption seeming alien for playing his music. And we will dance around our kitchen. Every night we dance. Thank you very much.